I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph, welcome to episode 195.
Oh my gosh, you guys, and we didn't think this was going to happen again. Every time with Hartman,
we've had some technical issues. But today, we have a couple friends who have never met each other until a few minutes ago. Mr. Adam Bennett.
Yes.
And Jeremy Hartman.
They're here!
Hey. Thank you.
So excited.
Thank you for doing this. Let's start off by, let's tell you guys about Tate, our little five-year-old. Stop. Okay, so Tate, or as he calls it, Tate Man Mason. He tells everybody Tate Man Mason. That's his name, like he's some superhero. He is super aggressive.
He's
super physical.
Always been aggressive and physical.
I don't know how he is in your gym class, but he is.
How is he?
I would describe him as super aggressive and physical. And he's very eager to play and to please.
Yes.
Which is great. In all honesty, he's great.
Now, has he body checked anybody in the class?
I mean, not more than once per period, I don't think.
Perfect.
So he came to us wanting to play soccer this past summer. Mm-hmm. And okay, he's our third child.
Yes.
I have intentionally tried to steer our kids away from soccer.
100%.
Because
we're not soccer people.
Not soccer people.
Not at all.
And I mean, if I'm being honest with you guys, I can't stand soccer. I hate soccer.
Oh.
And it's to the point where, like, if our kids came to us and said, hey, I can choose between synchronized swimming and soccer.
Oh, Kevin.
I'd be like, ooh. Okay, I guess you can play soccer. But, I mean, it's literally to that point. I can't stand it.
I didn't know you hated it that bad. Why do you hate it that bad?
Oh, I have, like, 10 different reasons.
Why? Give me two.
One, there's not enough action. There's so low scoring, drives me bonkers, right? Because there's so much effort that gets put out there on the field with such little reward for a goal. There's so much more scoring in hockey on skates in a smaller goal than there is in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me nuts. Invisible lines that they have on the field. They'll just call a whistle and like, what is that? It's offside. Where's the line at? Oh, it's not on the field. That drives me bonkers.
I could explain that one to you at some point if you'd like.
Oh,
it has to do with, there's no invisible line. It has to do with the last defender. The last defender moves, so there's no line.
There's no way he's going to grasp that.
I don't feel like I can explain it to you in this moment.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right.
I saw that topic dying on the vine before it was even brought
I'm
up.
I'm just saying that there is a reason. Offsides does make sense, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that being said, we sign him up a week before his first practice.
Yeah.
I'm looking and I'm like, oh crap, we're supposed to have a soccer ball. Like, we didn't have a soccer ball. And come to find out, there's different size balls.
There's different size balls. Yeah. No clue.
I didn't know that either.
No.
He said,
we need a size three
size
ball.
Size three. Yeah, he's a size three.
Had no clue.
So we break Amazon. Down and bought a $7.
Yes, we did.
Ball.
Nothing but the best.
Amazon. Nothing but the best. And ship him off to the practice.
No, here's the thing. Kevin had to get him ready for soccer. He puts his socks on and the shin guards over his socks. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I'm not a soccer person, but at least I knew how to dress him.
I didn't know that. I thought the shin guards go outside the socks.
Well, for practice.
No, don't be the dork player. No, our son cannot be the dork. Come on.
So, yes, I did make that mistake. So he goes to two practices. We get to the game. I'm trying to incentivize the kids on just to be aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. I want them to be aggressive. Give your best the whole time. So I tell Tate, listen, I'm going to give you an M&M for every time you touch the ball. Yeah. And I don't know. I have no idea what he's going to be doing.
Some guy in Europe just shuddered at your... this is the genesis of the problem with American soccer. I'm not pinning it on you, but everyone like you. It's like, be aggressive, score 20 goals, and then it gets out of the sport by fifth grade because all he knows how to do is run down the field and kick the ball.
And he's stealing the ball from his teammates so he can get more M&Ms.
It's brutal.
And so I'm like, I just want him to touch the ball. I'm not expecting any goals. I want him to just at least
go after the ball. Go after it. Just don't stand there and watch.
So I'm like, buddy, I'm going to count. Let's see how many times you touch the ball. All right. So I stopped counting at 23 is when I stopped counting. So he is kicking the ball everywhere, but he's not going very far. He's not getting anywhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's running into the goal, trips, falls into the net, gets stuck in the net. Right. Mm-hmm. So like the coach comes over, like detangles his cleat from the net. And then at one point he falls down. And just laying there, we're like, buddy, you got to get up. You're going to get stepped on.
Lays there, and then holds the ball so no one else can kick
it. Yes. So. He's laying on the ball, and so they're blowing the whistle, but he can't do that, right? People are going to come over and kick at you. And he's just very dramatic. So
I don't know who he gets that from.
No idea where that could come from. So they play for 50 minutes, and I would say the first 40 minutes, it is just like... Utter chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are bumping into him, as you can expect, Jeremy, knowing him, and they're falling down. He's not budging, right? I'm watching him, and kids would fall down running into him, and then he'd feel bad and just like fall on the ground as
well.
He's
like, am I supposed to fall down?
Thinking he's supposed to fall down.
Yeah.
So then with 10 minutes to go, it was like he figured it out. He would kick the ball far, run to it, kick it, go. Scores 3 goals in the last 10 minutes.
Nice.
I mean, you should have seen our reaction. We were like, where did this come from?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? All he wants to do is play soccer now. And so I'm practicing in the living room, and he is like bully ball. Just he's very aggressive with me, and he loves to wrestle. So this past weekend, Steph, would you like to share what happened on Saturday?
Oh. So he's very aggressive. He loves contact. He doesn't shy away from contact. So at one point, there's this girl that had it, and she was very good. He put his elbow into her, knocked her down, took the ball, got back, and scored the goal. And I'm more like, oh, buddy, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Okay, so then...
Did the referees call something on him?
I mean...
Because if they didn't, then he can do that.
They actually didn't. But I am like hitting Kevin, like, you need to go talk to him. Like, next time he gets out, you need to go talk to your son.
It got to the point where he's like running over... pushing kids, stealing the ball. He thought it was fun to like knock them down and just steal the ball and take off.
Yeah.
So we are yelling for him to knock it off.
Yeah.
Stop pushing, all this stuff. So after the first quarter, I go over and tell him, I'm like, Tate, and I'm not supposed to be on the sideline, but I don't care.
You know.
So he's I go over there. He's 5. Go over there. Listen, I don't want to see you push one more kid this entire game. I said, here's the thing, buddy. You can bump them with your shoulder. Do not push them. Okay. So then I want to show you guys a video of what happened here. Because, I mean, technically, he didn't push a kid, right? So,
are there referees in this game?
That age, yes, a lot of times they're not. Okay.
There are referees, okay. Let me know if this is a penalty.
Yeah. It is. Because he put his shoulder into him without really going for the ball.
Totally.
But you guys see, he fell on the ground after he did it. And he just looked at us like, was that okay? Was I not supposed to do that?
Yeah, so now he's over-aggressive. He's getting penalties, so we had to get in the car. Listen, you cannot ram yourself into the other kids and knock them down. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that.
No, it's a shoulder charge. You can't do that.
So he's like, oh, okay, daddy. Okay, daddy. So then Jeremy, this week, he gets in trouble at school. In the bathroom.
Yep. He comes to me. So I get home from work and he always will tell on himself if he does something wrong. I get to mom and dad. He's like, mama, I got to tell you something. I'm like, dang it. That's not good. I'm like, buddy, what? He's like, I got in trouble today. I'm like, well, why'd you get in trouble? He's like, because I was wrestling in the bathroom. I'm like, I'm like, buddy, why were you wrestling? Are you supposed to wrestle in the bathroom? Nope. I'm like, then why did you do it? Because my two friends were wrestling in the bathroom. I'm like, did they tag you in? Like, what is happening? And he's like, yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm like, ugh.
So he jumps in because he wants part of this deal. He's probably climbing up the urinal and jumping off the urinal.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Tag in.
Tightrope
WrestleMania
right
there. Yep. In the bathroom. So he just loves
contact.
Being rough.
Yeah.
So... heads up at school, Jeremy, if you see him.
You let us know.
Let us know.
Knock it down.
I guess I should have emailed about a month ago, but oh well.
It's more a school psychologist issue, sounds like.
Hello, friends. I'm Craig Clausen, and I help Kevin and Steph with all the tech stuff for the show. But today, I have a request for you. Kevin and Steph will soon be recording their 200th episode. In the podcast world, this is a big accomplishment. According to Forbes, only 8% of podcasts uploaded over the past week had created more than 10 episodes, let alone 200. And we want to celebrate with you. We would love for as many listeners as possible to give us a call at 614-699-0604 and leave them a voicemail. Let Kevin and Steph know what Tell Us a Good Story means to you, or tell them what's been your favorite episode or story, or just call to congratulate them. It's easy to do. Just give them a call at 614-699-0604, listen to the cute voicemail recorded by the Mason Kids, and then leave them a message. And even better, your message might appear on air for the 200th episode. I will put the phone number in the show notes for you, and please call by November 30th, 2023. And, as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So, needless to say, Steph and I have a lot to learn here.
We have so much to learn. Soccer.
Just have him start using both feet. I used to coach, and if I had to coach one more single-booted child, I was going to lose my mind. I can't stand that.
I don't know what that means.
You only kick with one foot?
Like to be able to kick a ball with any speed with both feet. Like
yes.
Most kids can dribble with both feet, but it's time to actually strike the ball. Oh. They got to have it on their right foot.
It's so awkward to watch. It's like you see a perfect opportunity on their left foot. And, here comes the hokey pokey to get it over their one good leg. It's like they're all a bunch of stroke victims out there. It's awful. I cannot stand it. I've told my son, I go, I can name so many horrible, maladaptive behaviors I'd rather you have than being single-booted at soccer.
It's awful. I would rather you do synchronized swimming.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about I'd rather you be a than be single-booted. It's horrible. I cannot stand it. So I drill it into his head, and I always did from a young age.
Hey, you'd be an amazing coach, Adam.
I was. One time I was coaching the fourth, fifth level, and there was this kid, and you won't get this because he was offside. He was keeping the whole other team offside the whole time. He was playing way far back. He was playing too far back, which meant the other team was onside the whole time. It's a thing. And I go, and he comes off. I go, do you know the onside, offside rule? He's like, no. I'm like, that explains a lot. And I just walked away because you can't explain it that quickly.
Was he like, isn't there supposed to be an invisible line out here?
Yeah, there's an invisible line on my little clipboard, and you're beneath it, and you never should have been on this team.
Well, this was supposed to be a therapy session for Kevin, but I've just got some things off his chest.
I can't coach past sixth grade, though. I don't know enough.
You're not allowed to.
Well, I shouldn't be.
All right, so Steph and I bought this game around Christmas called Best Story Wins. I have not used this, but it has a list of topics that kind of jog your memory of, do you have a story for this topic? Okay. And so I was telling Steph at this point, we have so many stories. Mm-hmm. So it was like, why don't we pick a card or two cards out of this and see if all of us have a story around this topic. So first one here, worst job you've ever had. Do you have a story? Worst job you've ever had? I've got a story, maybe one of the worst experiences at a job, but...
Yeah, I do. I actually, there's a couple that are closely tied, but I did roofing with my uncle in the summer when I was like 19.
Okay.
Of course, blazing temperatures, carrying these things up ladders, worried about falling off a roof, being 19 and having zero skills to do any of the things I was doing. And my uncle was probably about as nice as Adam was to his soccer players.
So, his uncle was not OSHA compliant, is what he's trying to say.
I think I was offsides a lot when I was roofing and had no idea where the invisible line was. But I think actually truly it would be when we first moved to Columbus, I was trying to find a teaching job, you know, that. And in the summers, you know, if you're a teacher, you don't have a job in the summers. And so I was found this gig with a guy from Craigslist for landscaping. And he told me I got the job without any questions, training whatsoever. You know, what do you need me to do? Well,
we need you to swear in Spanish at these guys. We'll do the actual work.
The first red flag should have been that my first assignment was to pick him up for work because he didn't have a vehicle. I picked up my boss.
He picks him up because, hey, blow into this before we can start the car.
We're driving to this really nice area in Worthington, which is, you know, it's where close to where we live, and it's a great area. I have zero experience landscaping, and then while I'm landscaping, he takes my car and go run some errands. Yeah.
He's had an interlock device on it. He can't take it anywhere.
So many red flags. So I'm just stuck at people's houses hoping I'm doing it right. And then I have at one point I'm pressure washing, which I had never done. I mean, I got to be at this place for 3 hours, and I've done an area smaller than this table because the bead is like as wide as a pencil. And it turns out there was a setting you could turn to change the spray.
Yeah, there is.
But I'm a child.
They hide that.
I'm like, well, I'm not a child. I'm 23, 24. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, those poor people did not get their money's worth.
And your car was muling.
And my
something.
Car was trafficking something.
There was some combination of drugs and immigrants were in the trunk of that car.
Don't open the trunk.
Yeah.
I did actually check recently, and he was still in business.
Really?
Surprisingly. Really?
Yeah.
Well, what he's selling is in such demand that I could see him having some longevity.
So I think that's all I got.
Oh,
that's all I got.
That's good stuff.
Yep.
Adam, do you have a worst job?
Oh, boy. Worst. I worked at a pizza place in Sunbury. Enough time has passed. I can give that much information. And you see this tiny scar on the end of my finger? Right there?
Yes.
Okay. So I was grating cheese on a big industrial cheese grater and pushing the block in. And then pretty soon I grated that part of my hand. And
into the cheese?
Oh, yeah. It goes in a big trash bag. So my finger goes into the...
Too far?
Yeah. I mean, I pushed the brick in too far with that hand. It caught... My hand went in the grater. And just that little piece there came off.
Did that cheese end up getting served still?
It did.
Okay.
It went in the bag, they never went through the bag, and I never saw the bag come out of, like, circulation.
No!
Never. There was no effort to recover the part of me that was in that that pizza or that cheese. Or, I mean, knowing that owner, he was like, that kills my margin on these pies.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time, you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So, I got a text message from our friend and prior guest, Joe Serio.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on, I guess, 3 times now. He's the guy who wrote a book about him and the Russian mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And so, great guy. But sent me a message. This was actually last week. He said he got in a car with a friend. The friend was listening to Tell Us a Good Story. And he texted me and said he couldn't get away from us. So, he said his friend was actually listening to episode 2.
Oh, wow.
Oh!
Episode 2. And I
Who's
was like,
episode 2?
It was you and I.
Just
and
us?
Yes. Phew. I was like, don't do that. I go, Joe, we always tell people, go backwards.
Yeah.
Go most recent to the earliest ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
The episodes today are much better than they were that first year.
Mm-hmm.
Just hands down. And he responded, hey, don't cringe about the beginning. You guys have evolved beautifully. Everything starts somewhere. So whenever you hear the old ones, just sit back and say to yourself, yeah, that was the beginning. And look where it's taken us. We couldn't have got here without them.
Aww.
So you can tell he is a professional speaker. And then, do you guys have any questions? Or anything you're curious about what's going on with Tell Us a Good Story that you want to ask us that might be the same question that one of our listeners have?
One I've always wanted to ask since I first started listening is, you know, the Progressive commercials where they throw the challenge flag?
Yes.
Do you guys ever do that to each other where you swear something happened and Steph's like, no, that didn't happen. And so you actually go back and listen to your episodes to prove that you're right? Because you essentially have the ability to throw a challenge flag and check where most of us don't record our lives like you guys do.
Mm. We had a guest today. Can I say who the guest was? Because it makes...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we had a guest today who is freaking fantastic. John Cooper from Skillet.
Founder of the Christian rock band Skillet. Who, by the way, Steph thought we were talking to the retired high school football coach.
Yes, football coach. That's what I thought when I heard John Cooper,
thank
too.
You.
And so we're like, no, this is John Cooper, the rock star in the band Skillet, right?
I'm like, well, that's good too.
Yes.
That's good.
That's even better.
So he was amazing. And Kevin was telling me about him. I'm like, wait a second. Didn't we have our previous guest, Andy Irwin? He did a rock video for Skillet. And Andy was talking about how they were doing like this pyrotechnic thing. And Kevin's like, no, I don't think it was Skillet. I don't think he said that. I'm like, no. I think it was Skillet. So progressive flag went up and we went back and he never said it was Skillet.
We went back and listened.
Yeah.
He never said it was Skillet. But the way he was talking about the band.
The way he was describing it.
The drummer was a female and it was a Christian rock band. I'm like, okay. So it probably was Skillet. So then we threw this story out to John today and he's like, 100%. That story is about us.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So,
which is really cool.
But Steph does fact check me a lot on things. And then even when we were writing the book, you would fact check me on like stupid stuff. How many days I was in the hospital.
Yeah, right? I was right.
I felt like I was in there like 30 days and Steph's like,
he's like,
no.
I was there for like 6 months, wasn't I? I'm like, how about
9 days?
9 days. And he's like, no,
it felt like 6 months.
It was, and I'm like, I will tell you when you went in and when you got out. It was so ingrained in my head.
So you affected me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever want to start having more guests appear like live with you in person?
Live or in person?
In person.
We've done a handful of those, actually. Damon West, we did in person. We've done a handful in person. Not live.
Shawshank.
Definitely not live. Mm-hmm. That scares me.
Don't want to do live.
No.
Don't want to roll phone calls.
Don't want to do that. A lot of guests go long.
Mm-hmm. Their answers are long.
Answers are long. They ramble. And so to give you an opportunity to edit it down, give an opportunity to edit out something stupid I said that I thought was funny at the time, and it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It certainly wasn't. Back to you, you're like, okay, now let's edit that out. Yep. There's a lot. Well, here's a good example. We're talking Dallas Page.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He starts how 90% of what they do is real. Okay? He's like, you can't fake gravity. You can't fake a chair to the back.
Right.
He's like, here's the thing. If I take this chair and I hit somebody in the back, I'm going to hit them square in the back, and it's going to be loud. It's going to be a big bang. It's going to be awesome, right? But I'm hitting them in the middle of that chair. I'm not going to hit them on the side and, like, cut them up. And you hear me in the background, I'll be like, yep. Like,
like I know what he's talking about. Like, Steph did that to me this morning.
Like, as if I hit somebody with a chair, I know exactly what he's talking about. So stuff like that, when I'm listening to him, like, I sound so stupid. And he's like, mute my microphone, edit that out. Me in the background, yep, I know what you're talking about, GDP. Like, I was at a Waffle House last week, right? And it just got escalated quick.
Yeah, it does. Right? So, who's out of hash browns? Not you.
So I don't want to do live because there's this random stuff that I like to edit out or our producer edits out.
Well, and like you said, like sometimes these guys, our guests, they will talk long. And they'll go from what our question was. And then 10 minutes later, they're completely opposite. And we have to like circle back. So I think listeners would be bored with their answers because it wasn't tight and concise.
And there's times we're doing this fifth episode. And I'm listening to us talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm putting myself to sleep here.
Yeah.
And so I've got to cut out a story or edit something down or make it concise and tight just to make it more listenable.
Yeah.
But yeah, live makes me nervous. And I mean, we do a lot of stuff live when we're talking to other people when they're interviewing us.
Yeah.
Hey, that reminds me. You remember the first time we got interviewed on TV? We do a Zoom call. We're on TV, and I don't think it was live, but they plugged us in. I see them. We hear them. I don't think they saw us. So the two hosts are like, okay, what are we going to talk to these people about? What's their names?
They're looking at cards they just pulled out of their jacket.
Yes.
Like, what we got here? Former Satanists? We got, what's going on here?
So I'm like, oh, we can hear you, but they can't hear us. They hadn't like flipped the switch yet on their end.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about like what they're going to ask us literally like 30 seconds before.
What are these, the Osmonds? What's going on here?
So then they flip the switch so they can hear us, okay? And they're like, oh my gosh, this is Kevin and Steph. So nice to meet you. And Steph, of course, being naturally loud that she is, she's like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you. And the hosts have those like in-ear monitors in, and she is like ripping her ears out. And you can see her like pointing down, like, turn this chick down.
We got a live one here, folks.
She is blowing my eardrums.
Shoot.
So that was our first experience. But yeah, there's been some interviews where it's like, well, they got our names right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry
about
it.
Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So, Steph, I don't know if I told you this. We're doing this, what, mid-October? Mm-hmm. We're recording this. We only have one opening from now until January 12th.
You know that makes me so happy. You know.
We're taking 2 weeks off during Christmas, so there's that. But, yes, we're booked out until almost mid-January.
And you're going to keep booking, aren't you?
I'm doing my best.
We're going to keep booking it. We're going to keep this momentum. Because here's my fear, you guys. So, last January, we took, I think, a month off. And then once we got back into it, January's slow with people like starting, like
getting back into the routine.
Yeah, people just, they take a little while. So like we were reaching out and they're like, how about March? How about February? I'm like, oh my gosh, like we need people now.
That was 2 years ago.
So
remember who we called?
Was it 2 years?
Remember who we called to help us out?
No.
This guy.
Yeah, the fill-in.
Pulled through.
I'm like Shandling to Carson. Like, I need a guy.
You're the biggest celebrity we know.
Bennett here. So yeah, I think he filled in twice with us because we didn't have any guests. That was like episode 56 and 57 or something.
Oh, it freaks me out.
Yes.
So I'm like, always like, keep going. Just keep the momentum going.
Okay, so next week we have, his name is Dwayne Abel. This man has incredible story. So he is a cartoonist. He does a ton of presentations, school assemblies. He goes to retirement homes. He's a professional speaker, all of that. During COVID, he wasn't going to school assemblies anymore. He does a weekly comic strip for like 60 newspapers across the country. So that's one piece he does. But then he wasn't traveling anymore. So he was a theater major at, it was at University of Akron, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, during COVID, everything's kind of shut down, but let me go try out for a few movie parts, right? To try to get in a few films here that are still in production. So he gets one. And then they ask him, hey, you're a cartoonist, you write stuff, have you written anything else? And he's like, well, I wrote this one script for Netflix or something, didn't get picked up. They're like, do you have anything else? He's like, let me get back with you. So he, the next 2 weeks, he just cranks up this movie script, sends it to this production company, like a month goes by, and they go, hey, we want to make this into a film. He negotiates to do this. One, I want you to film it in my hometown of Carrollton, Ohio, which is maybe a half hour away from Akron. Then he asked that he would have some type of part in the film, some type of casting part. And they agreed to it. So he filmed that. Then that's led to him like writing other stuff and being in other movies. So during this conversation, you'll hear this next week, folks. Again, it's getting crazy. But at the end of the conversation, he's like, hey, our next film that I've written is going into production in January.
It's hopefully.
Hopefully. That's the plan. In January of 24 is when they're going to film it. Same thing, they've decided to film it in his hometown in Carrollton, Ohio. And he said he's written it, he's the co-producer on it. It is a Christmas movie. So it's going to be like a Hallmark-type movie. And he asked Steph and I to be an extra in the movie.
Y'all know I was posing. As soon as you started going, I was like, I was ready.
Oh my gosh.
I was bored for this.
When and where, I will gladly. I'm like, okay. I'm like, but Dwayne, here's the thing. Please know there is a risk. This woman's going to be a scene stealer. Like, excuse me, don't look at the camera, and you don't have any speaking parts, so please stop talking.
You guys will be extra customers at the Christmas tree lot. It'll be fine.
Right as the couple's falling in love after their high school, you know, 20 years later past high school.
I'm walking back past the camera posing. Yes.
And they give me, hey, sir, I want you to carry this Christmas tree 50 yards to this truck. So he's going to get back with us. But yeah, in January, and I'm sure we'll have some stories from that.
Yes.
Of being an extra.
We told Emmy, and he's like, Mama, do they need me too? Like, I'm like, no, baby, it's just me and Daddy.
Steph, what happens when we get there and like, sir, we need you to act like a dead body. We need you to be a corpse.
He can do that. He can absolutely do that.
sir, we've got a soccer scene in the movie. Could you strike a ball for us?
This scene requires a drag queen in the background, so you're going to need to...
So many options.
friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.